Welcome to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with your host, Dr. Kate. This is where your journey to burnout recovery starts. Are you feeling overwhelmed or like work has become unmanageable? Join me and my guests for open and honest conversations about burnout recovery from the comfort of the front porch. I am here to help you build your resilience and prepare you for burnout in a whole new way through a variety of perspectives. Move past the idea that burnout can only be addressed by avoidance and work to integrate recovery into your daily life. Relax, take a breath. The From Burnout to Recovery Show starts now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio and member of the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group. I am your host, Dr. Kate, and I am always excited to welcome you to the show, and today is no different. Remember, as you are enjoying the show, be sure to hit that subscribe button. Make sure that you get those notifications so you know every Tuesday when a new show comes out, you are notified, and you can download the KS Media Group app in your app store for all the world's best influencers in one place. Today, we are going to be joined by our guest, Anna Granta. Anna Granta has experienced burnout multiple times in her past, most intensely while teaching math to disadvantaged teenagers. She has learned how to identify it and recover and wants to teach other neurodivergent people to do the same. Anna, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Kate. Thank you for having me here.
Well, I am really excited to learn a little bit more about this piece of neurodivergent people and how burnout, you know, impacts you all a little bit differently and how recovery might look a little bit differently. So welcome for sure. To get us started, go ahead and Anna, if you would, tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience with burnout and how you have found a place to recovery.
Sure. Thank you. So I think my first burnout really happened after I had my first child. It's a big life shift, and many of the kind of routines and coping mechanisms that I almost didn't know that I needed disappeared suddenly at that point. And so that was a difficult time, you know, and then I kind of just about recovered by doing things like gardening and craft, you know, taking that time, kind of engaging with my senses, you know, engaging with things I cared about, like political activism. But then I had this bright idea, right? I really care about education. I'm really passionate about making sure that disadvantaged children get the best education possible. And so I decided I was going to train as a teacher. And I picked a training route that we have in the UK where you go straight into a school and you kind of learn on the job. And it's a very intense experience.
It sounds intense.
Yeah. And I wasn't ready for it yet, right? I wasn't kind of far enough along my recovery. And so that prompted then a much more intense burnout where at the peak, I couldn't get out of my chair. I couldn't do anything, you know, and for a few weeks I wasn't eating right. I wasn't sleeping right. So the only way really to recover from that was to go to my doctor and get signed off of the work because the work was so stressful that I wasn't going to recover while I was doing that job. Yeah, and so now I know a little bit more about burnout, but it wasn't the end of the story because after that job, I went back to tech, which was my kind of first career. And I got really excited about setting up this new team and working with all these people. But because it was my team and I was setting it up, I ended up doing everything, right? I was wearing all of the hats. And by this point, I had two small children. And so it was still quite stressful. It wasn't so intense. You know, there wasn't that like I literally can do nothing moment because I was more aware now. I was like, this is getting towards a point that isn't great. And so I was able to kind of make changes in my life. So I left that job and became a coach instead. So I was able to make changes to give me more flexibility, focus more on the things that I'm really passionate about and get rid of some of the the other stuff that comes with working in a big organization. And really focus on myself and my health and my family.
That's amazing. So I definitely hear the piece of, you know, just like all the things happening, like not it's like kind of the starting with burnout in terms of like through life transitions in that aspect, and then going through, you know, through that journey through it happened in the workspace. And then when it was kind of this parenthood and workspace combined in that aspect, what were some of the first things that clued you into that this was beyond just general stress or day-to-day stress, and that it was truly like burnout?
So I think I wouldn't have known to give it that label at the time, but I knew it was beyond general stress because it was really impacting my life. So the first time when I just had my child, I actually developed almost agoraphobia. Like I was hardly going out. And it was because it was overwhelming to go out, like getting the diaper bag packed and snacks for everybody and, you know, all of the planning that goes into taking a small child outside. It just became kind of too much. Mm-hmm. And so then I kind of knew, you know, that's not normal. That's something more than it, you know, the normal stress of having a child, because it is stressful for everyone, right? And it turns out that actually my ADHD, which is a type of neurodivergence, which you mentioned when you introduced me, was really contributing to that. Because when I've been working in tech, I could kind of play to my strengths. I could be creativity. It's quite a flexible workplace, quite a lot of interesting ideas, and quite an innovative company. And I had a baby, and it's really boring, right? It's the same every day. Yeah. You have to do the same things. And that was a real struggle for me. But then also the organization of like keeping the house clean when there's all this extra stuff going on, and packing the bags was particularly challenging for me because of the ADHD.
Mm-hmm. I would love to hear a little bit more about how you may have implemented different strategies that work better for you in regard to your ADHD that maybe some of us that don't have that might not think about.
Yeah. So if I'd known then what I know now, I think the first thing I'd have had was a checklist on the door of like, what actually do you need to leave the house? So I wasn't trying to store it in my head. I could just go down and go, okay, there's two things missing, right? They're here and they're here. Got it. You know, or enlisting help, you know, maybe getting my husband to help me pack the bag the night before, so that I wasn't kind of left scrabbling, like trying to hold a baby in one arm while like finding all the stuff at the last minute.
Yeah, that's awesome. So some of those key pieces, like leaving yourself almost like, you know, the breadcrumb kind of checklist to make sure that you have everything, and then enlisting that help and support in the relationships around you is incredibly important. What are some of the things that you do for yourself now, kind of in the day-to-day to, you know, prevent or prepare for future burnout?
Yeah. So now I really prioritize getting outside every day. You know, that sunlight boosts that serotonin. So important. And in the winter, because we have kind of long, dark winters here in the UK, I have daylight frequency light bulbs in the main living rooms in the house. So I don't even have to remember to plug the sad lamp in. It just like happens when I turn the lights on.
That's amazing.
So that's really important. I know that crafting, especially knitting or crochet, are really good for my mental health. So whenever I kind of spot things are getting a bit hard, yeah, I know it's time to carve out more time to do those things. And I also have so much more flexibility now in my life because I'm self-employed. I work for myself. If I feel a bit like, February is normally a hard month, then I can take less work on in February. You know, or if I'm like, oh, the summer holiday, the kids are going to be around, that's going to be a bit stressful, I can just not take on new projects at work in that time. You know, I can balance as I need to.
Yeah. I like that piece and kind of the, you know, the aspects of knowing what supports you when you're starting to feel that overwhelm come up or that stress come up. But I also really like the piece of, you know, recognizing, okay, this month is, I know that February is a harder month for me for whatever reason. And so how do you approach that differently in that aspect? And I, you know, when I work with people in my research that shows that like that an identification piece, that observation piece is a really important step. So I love that you've highlighted that for us today. You talked a little bit about kind of the knitting and the crocheting helping you in that aspect. How do you recognize that you're in a space where you need to like pick up that hobby again?
Yeah. Being irritable with the people that I care about is a key early sign for me. And it plays into the ADHD. So with ADHD, we have kind of differences in attention. And what it means for me is that if I'm being interrupted, it's kind of hard like to shift my attention from something to someone else. So if somebody like my child comes to talk to me, that's an interruption and it's kind of hard. When things are fine, like it's an interruption and it's kind of hard and it's fine and I deal with it and I pay attention to my child because I love them and I care about them. When I'm not so great, you know, they interrupt me and I can almost like feel myself having to drag my attention away from whatever I was doing to give it to them. And when things are really hard, I resent having to do that. And that's when I know like, this is not good. Changes need to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up, because I think that's an important point, and that the resentment that you brought up, and it's something that I think I know I can be really hard on myself for when it's simply an indicator that I need to slow down or I need to, you know, reevaluate what I'm doing for daily recovery and those kinds of things. So I just want to highlight for our listeners that is a normal experience and you don't have to feel guilt or shame for it. Just recognize it for the indicator that it is in where you're at in your stress levels.
Yeah, absolutely. When our needs are met, we don't resent other people for having stuff. It's resentment is an indicator that we have some kind of unmet need and we've got to figure out what it is and meet it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Just, yeah. Think of resentment as your indicator that you have an unmet need and that you need to just simply figure out what it is that will help you in that moment. What are some other pieces that you have experienced in terms of specifically in that aspect of neurodivergent that are important to keep in mind when it comes to burnout recovery?
Yeah, I think one of the really interesting aspects of neurodivergence is that many neurodivergent people don't have a strong link between their brain and their body. Mm-hmm. So that kind of intuitive sense of something's off now is harder for us to access. It takes more practice. You know, even simple things like identifying when we're hungry, identifying when we need to go to the bathroom are harder. And so then the more sort of subtle identifying when our stress levels have slowly risen to a point that's no longer sustainable, you know, that identification point is really difficult for a lot of neurodivergent people. And so that's always the first thing that I teach, like, yeah, identify what are your triggers? What are the situations that make you more at risk? And what are your signs? You know, I mentioned the irritability, but it's also changes in sleeping or eating patterns, changes in desire to socialize, you know, mood swings. People with ADHD can be quite prone to mood swings anyway. So you've got to be sort of alert to what's normal for you and what's not normal for you.
Mm-hmm. That is so interesting to hear about that, that there's like a larger disconnect between like the brain and the body, and recognizing that, you know, some of the things that, you know, I might like come and recognize faster in that aspect. So let's say we have a listener, and I'm sure we do, who is like, oh my gosh, that's me. What are some ways that they can start in creating that faster recognition or more recognition for themselves?
Yeah, so you can strengthen that brain-body connection. Things like mindfulness, yoga, tai chi, often with ADHD, something with movement works better because you don't want to feel like I can't sit still and my thoughts are buzzing and feel ashamed about that. Yeah. So I have a walking meditation for neurodivergent people, but there are lots of other of these practices that can actually help you strengthen that awareness. And making yourself accountable to the people around you, you know, relying on those important relationships in your life, letting them know what they should be looking out for, so that if you're kind of too much in the weeds to really see what's going on, someone else can just gently tap you on the shoulder and go, you know, well, you've been eating chocolate biscuits for dinner every day for a week, and you told me to let you know when that happens.
I love that. A chocolate biscuit. That sounds good right now. I really appreciate that piece of, you know, so there are ways that you can strengthen that connection, that body mind connection in those aspects, and doing it in ways that are supportive to you in the neurodivergent space in that aspect. And I love that piece of having someone help you with the recognition piece of that. I utilize my husband for that fairly often. Like, hey, like even without the neurodivergent piece, I think that it's still helpful for all of us to have kind of an accountability partner who can help bring our attention to when we might have hit that stress load in that aspect. Anna, what is one additional piece of advice that you would offer our audience members?
It is easier to address burnout when it's mild, right? Rather than leaving it to get worse and worse. And you cannot cure burnout by doing more of the thing that's burning you out. You cannot push through it. You cannot grit your teeth and just keep going. Or you can, but you will end up doing more damage in the long run. It's always really important when you do notice those signs to be honest with yourself and to get the support that you need and deserve.
Yes. I think that piece and what I heard is that you cannot cure your burnout by doing more of what's burning you out. And that is so incredibly important. And where can our audience members learn more about you?
Yeah. So they can learn more about me on my website, which is grantercoaching.com, or on Twitter, where I'm Anna Granter.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
What an awesome conversation with our guest, Anna Granta, and talking a little bit about that experience with burnout when you may also have a, you know, neurodivergent such as ADHD, and how that looks a little bit different. And I love the piece that she told us at the end in regard to you cannot recover from burnout by doing more of what's already burning you out or pushing through. And we've definitely talked about that before on the show, is that push through and that gritting your teeth and trying to get through it may sustain you for a little bit, but it's certainly not going to bring you out of your burnout. So remember that there's lots of support out there for you. If you're ready to start looking at your burnout recovery journey a little bit differently, you absolutely can do that. I want to remind you to hit that subscribe button. And if you're really enjoying the show, I encourage you to leave us a review, 5 stars, of course. Let us know what you enjoy most about the show, and be sure to share this with someone you love. We're going to move into our recovery moment, which is focused on cultivating a stable mind. So let's get started. Of course, I want to remind you to practice your recovery moment when you're in a safe space to do so. So if that's not for you right now, take a listen, but then come back and you can implement this when you are in a space to do so. So let's get started. All right, dear listeners, let's get started on our recovery moment. We are going to do a guided meditation for cultivating a stable mind. It is important for us to remain grounded and stable in the midst of our experiences. When you notice suffering, you respond with compassion and you don't get knocked off balance by the unexpected. It's important to cultivate a state of mind that is both grounded and flexible, especially in the midst of intense emotional experiences. I want you to go ahead and take a deep breath in through your nose and out, and closing your eyes and finding your position, your posture, bringing your awareness into your present experience. Notice the sounds, the feelings in the body, and your overall mental state. Open your awareness. When something comes up, tune into the mind, noticing where you get knocked off balance. Certain sounds, thoughts, or feelings in the body may feel charged, pulling you from your calm state of mind. Sit with this awareness of your own balance for just a couple moments. Breathing in and breathing out, noticing and letting pass. Noticing what knocks us off balance and reconnecting to our calm state of mind. Bring to mind someone you care about deeply. Connect with your intention to care for this person. Recognize that although you may care for this person, you cannot control their happiness. Offer a few phrases to them. May you be happy. May you be in charge of your happiness. Your happiness is dependent upon your actions, not my wishes for you. Pass those wishes to them for another couple of moments, then switch to someone else you care about. Try to find someone who is currently experiencing some pain or suffering. Connecting with your intention to care, but remain stable, offer these phrases of compassion. May you be free from suffering. May you take action to care for your pain. Your freedom is dependent upon your actions, not my wishes for you. Finally, bring to mind someone in your life who has some joy or success recently. Offer a few phrases of appreciation and joy, staying connected to your compassion. May your joy continue. May you be in charge of your joy. Your joy is in your hands and is not dependent upon my wishes for you. Return to your own experience and allow yourself a few deep breaths as you offer yourself joy, as you offer yourself to be free from suffering, as you offer yourself happiness. Take a breath in through the nose and out, connecting back to your present space. Relaxed and stable before opening your eyes. Recognize that happiness is in your own hands. Be proud in your effort of practicing and encouraging happiness for yourself. Remember, for more recovery moments, you can follow me at Dr. Kate Steiner on Instagram and be sure to subscribe to the From Burnout to Recovery show on YouTube. I am so grateful to our guest, Anna Granta, and I am grateful to each of you for listening. Thank you for joining us on the From Burnout to Recovery show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Kate, and I wish you peace on your journey. Thank you for joining me on the front porch today. Remember that you can download your free guide to how to recover from burnout in 2 hours a week on my website, drkatesteiner.com. And as always, be well, my friends. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Kate, on the From Burnout to Recovery show, where you are starting your journey to burnout recovery. You are invited to join me on the front porch every second and fourth Friday of the month on transformationtalkradio.com to continue growing in resilience and integrating recovery into your daily life. If you would like to learn more or find out how to work with me, visit liftwellnessconsulting.com.